If you would, turn in your Bibles with me to Book of Luke, chapter 23. And we're going to begin at verse 32. Beginning a sermon series now through Easter on the seven last words of Jesus. Now, that's how it's been stated through many years of church history, of calling this the seven last words of Jesus. But it's really the seven last phrases of Jesus, sayings of Jesus, while he's on the cross. Here in beginning verse 32, and going through to verse 38 here. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." So, the key phrase that I'm centering on for this sermon, for this message, is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." That's more of the King James version of it. And that, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Now, let's look at what Jesus is going through here on the cross. He's now hanging on the cross. It's already been placed in the ground. The nails are in his hands. The nails are through his feet. That's grotesque enough, isn't it, for us? He's already been whipped by the cat of nine tails, so his back is exposing flesh. And he's bleeding. He's got a crown of thorns that has been placed upon his head, not softly, but piercing. And from that, he is also in great pain and anguish. He's been beaten so that he's not near recognizable anymore. You can imagine how many punches to the face he has taken at this point. So, here he hangs on the cross. And he says these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." In our world today, people are filled with anxiety more than any other generation, I believe. Statistics are out there that it is such the case, more so since the days of COVID. Especially among our younger generation. Not all, mind you, not all, but of some. Some even within the church, experience it. And they worry about tomorrow, and there may be doubts that arise, and there may be fears and anxieties that come forth from kind of every different kind of direction. You have no reason to be filled with anxiety, to be filled with doubt, to be filled with worries. Even though I know in our own manner of speaking and being very human, that sometimes those things come in, but God has given you every answer to not be filled, not to let those things control you, not to let worry just envelop your life. Trust in the Lord. He who died on the cross was able to say the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Now, I want you to keep in mind that as he is saying this, he's in great pain and anguish. You ever been in great pain? Very bad, sick? All I got to do is get the stomach virus, and that's enough. And I will plead with the Lord at that point, either take me or heal me, one or the other. You don't want it to continue. And Jesus went through greater than that. And yet he had the clarity of mind to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Jesus also is God here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are one. Yet in all of this, we know that Jesus walked on water. He fed the 5,000. He healed the lame and the blind in numerous numbers. On and on we could go what Jesus did. Yet on the cross, he chose not power, but he chose human frailty and weakness for you and me. He did not utilize his powers. What I'm trying to say to you, he did not say, "I felt no pain as the nails went in. I felt no hurt when insults were hurled my way. I felt no pain as I was beaten or the cat of nine tails or any of that." And as he hung on the cross and his back rubbed up and back forth up against that splintered cross, he didn't just say he was numb to all that and didn't experience any of that. No, he chose the frailty of the human condition completely to feel everything, to experience the fullness of our sin and our death. And even then, he says, and we must reflect on this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Think of that first line. Just that first part of that phrase, "Father, forgive them." If somebody's trying to hurt my child, "Father, forgive them" isn't the first thing that comes to my mind. And yet, the one who's being harmed here, who sees us as all of his children, is pleading with the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Father, forgive them. He is pleading with God, hold back your anger. Your righteous anger, by the way. God would not be in the wrong had he destroyed all of us and all of humanity. But that was not the purpose of God, was it? The purpose of God was to save us. The purpose of God was to offer his body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sin, that we might have a righted relationship with him. Whenever you go out to buy something these days, well, it used to be, still is, but let me explain. You go buy a refrigerator, what do they offer you? They offer you a warranty that you pay for. Buy a TV, we'd like to share with you this warranty. You buy something at Home Depot or Lowe's, they offer you a warranty. It's getting to the point that they're going to offer you a warranty for the plastic bags that you use at the grocery store. And why do they offer a warranty? And why do you buy one every now and then? I've paid for warranties before, and sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Why? You don't think it's going to last, do you? It's not going to last. And therefore, you buy a warranty so that when it doesn't last, they'll either replace it or have it fixed. And the company offers those warranties. Now, I know you're going to say to make money, but, you know, they offer those warranties because they know, or they believe their product is going to last long enough that you will never use it. I heard an amen on that. Yeah. And then I as a customer and you as a customer, you kind of determine, is this product going to last long enough that I really don't want to spend this much money on this warranty? That's how I usually approach it. The thing is, when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, Jesus doesn't fail. He doesn't fail. That is a statement in history recorded because people heard it and reported it down the road and wrote it, that it is in the scriptures, in the gospels for us to hear. It is the truest warranty of warranties, except it's not a warranty, it's a guarantee. Father, forgive them. Jesus has pleaded before the Father in heaven, and he will plead before the Father in heaven for you and me, our righteousness through Christ Jesus. He is the great counselor. He will never fail in this because he demonstrated it on the cross. Now, if we were to come before the Father in heaven and try to display our righteousness before God, apart from Jesus, and say, hey, look, what good I did. I gave to the church. I helped out people when they were hungry. I said nice things. I tried to be a good father and mother, a grandparent. I love people, etc., etc. You know what God would say to a person that tried to do that? And undoubtedly, there's probably been a lot of people who've entered to the gates of heaven and tried to plead their own case. And God comes out with this piece of paper that just goes on and on and on, demonstrating our sin, demonstrating all those things that we didn't even realize were sin in our lives. Oh, here it is. If we go before God and we expect that we're the ones who are going to present our righteousness before God, it will be most miserable and we would be most guilty. But only through Jesus and his unfailing love for us, where he says, Father, forgive them. He is willing to plead for you before the Father in heaven. Let's not take that for granted. We take things for granted a lot, don't we? You've got electricity in your home, you take it for granted. You got water in your home and flushing toilets, you take that for granted, don't you? Until you don't have it. And then what do? If you live in Jody's neighborhood, you call Jody, right? If you live somewhere else, you call, Elberton or whoever, or the local plumber. You know, if it's not there, then you really want it taken care of, don't you? Let's don't take for granted that Jesus on the cross and that God, the Father in heaven, has free will. Now, he's given us free will, right? But God also has free will. If his will is not free, then it is also not loving. That's how we come to know and experience the real love of God, because it is freely given back. The thing about it is that we can trust what God has said. Even in that most desperate of moments where Jesus could have just been selfish and inwardly thinking and gotten angry and mad and just thought about his own hurt and pain and struggle. But no, even in that very moment, he said, Father, forgive them. We don't need to take that for granted. We can trust it, but we don't need to take it for granted. That love was paid with a great cost. That grace, that mercy was paid with a great cost. Satan thought that the pain of the cross would cause Jesus to fail, you see. To cause him to look toward himself, to cause him to get angry. But the statement from the cross does the opposite. It demonstrates his unfailing love toward us. And Jesus does not fail. Relationships fail us, don't they? Friendships, marriage, parent-child, not all, but all of us here have experienced broken friendships, or a marriage, or broken relationship with a child. All of us have experienced on some level some broken relationships. But the thing about it is, Jesus does not fail us. In reaching out to us, He has healed the relationship that we had as a broken relationship with Him. Jerry Clower says this. Y'all know Jerry Clower, the famous comedian of old. Long been a number of years since he's passed away. And he tells this story, and I will relate this to the second part of this phrase. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. He tells the story of deacons of the church. So this is like a Baptist church kind of setting. The deacons of the church come and have a meeting, and they're discussing the purchase of a chandelier. Now, I won't tell it quite like Jerry Clower does, so if you don't laugh, that's all right. I'm not Jerry Clower. But he tells a story about these deacons meeting, and they're trying to purchase a chandelier and all about how much it's going to cost, and about 30 minutes go by, and they're still discussing this, and one of the older gentlemen in the church gets up and he says, listen, we've been talking for 30 minutes about this chandelier, and y'all need to know that if we even purchase one of these chandeliers, that there's probably no one in the church that would know how to play it. Yes. And even so, if we did get one of those chandeliers and no one knew how to play it, what we really need to be talking about is getting lights in the church. Don't make me explain what a chandelier is now, okay? Didn't know. They didn't know what Jesus was doing. Makes me wonder, would they have acted differently had they known? I'm not so sure they would have. Because it is our sin too that placed Him on the cross. Yours and mine, every person born in this world, our sin. Not somebody who's some bad person. We're all just as guilty before the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Wow, what mercy and what grace has been demonstrated from that day and really from days of old and even to now and will be to the day that we meet God face to face. This is His blood. This is His body. Yes, it's bread and grape juice. But it ceases to be that so much here and now. And becomes for us the body and blood of Christ. That we partake in repentance and recognition of His mercy and His grace and His awesome love to us. And that marks us as not our righteousness, but the righteousness of God. Do you repent of your sin? If you do so, would you say yes? Do I repent of my sin? Yes. Do I claim the gift and love of Jesus Christ? Yes. Do you claim the gift and love and mercy of Jesus Christ? Yes. And do you desire to partake in the body and blood of Jesus Christ? and so do I. I invite you now to come to this table.